I feel like I have something to share with you guys this morning that's really beautiful and really good. And it's also something that is culturally difficult, and it might rattle your cage a little bit. So I don't know if that's like a warning or just, I think there's, it, as I've gone through it, it's something I've just more and more been like, wow, this is really, really good. This is something really from God. And I don't know, I was thinking about this yesterday. If I told you, I really want to challenge you and help you grow, what would be your gut reaction to that? What are you selling? I don't have time for that, sorry. And if I said, I want to really just help you feel really loved right where you're at, that's my goal, how would you feel about that? Like, all right, I'll listen to that guy. And so I think there's probably a mix today in what you will hear. For me, it's been filled with blessings just reading through this and preparing and thinking about it. And I feel like God's been teaching me. It's also been challenging me. And there's things in me that have been really challenged. And so we are going to talk about authority today. And I think authority is maybe not authority itself, but if you add the word submit to authority, I think it becomes almost like a bad word. And I think you would get more shocked in your life, more a reaction more of shock by using the word submit than you would by using an F-bomb, I would imagine, in a lot of contexts. And so we're going to talk about what does that mean to submit to authority. And so this idea of authority is... We're going to kind of unpack that. And so, I guess first of all, I just want to, authority is something that actually comes from God. And not only is authority given by God, but authority is found in God. And so, I don't claim to know exactly how God is, and anybody who does, I would be really skeptical of. But God is, there's within one God, there are three beings. And so there's one God in a trinity of three beings. And so there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And together, they make God, and individually they're God. And if you can fully understand that, please explain it to me. But it's this amazing mystery beyond my understanding. But that is the nature of God. And within God Himself, there is authority and submission. And God the Son submits to God the Father. And that's kind of wild to think about. It's not just something God invented and said, oh, this authority would be a good thing. It's something that is within God. And so that's the only way it would really work if God the Father and God the Son had completely different plans and different things, different, whatever, ambitions. There would not be one God. It would be impossible. But in this setup of authority and submission, there is only one God with multiple beings. And so, for me personally, when I think of authority, I don't think of, oh yeah, that's from God and that's who God is. I think of more cultural stuff and my own experience with authority. And so I want to just tell you guys a little bit of my experience with the authority of the police. I guess it probably started when I was young. My mom, we were scraping to make ends meet. My mom did a great job. She was driving my brother to school one day in her old beat-up green car. And she got pulled over in the school zone right as she entered it. And this police officer kind of was pretty hard on her. And I think just kind of the final thing, on the ticket that he gave her, which was really hard to pay, he wrote down the color of her green car as rust. And that was the color of the car. And that really got my mom. And so I kind of already had these vibes. And so when I was in high school, it was after like an event, we were driving home. And so I was riding with my friend Jeremy, and my twin brother was riding with another friend, and we decided to see which route was faster to get home to my house. So we were racing, but we weren't really racing. We weren't like, you know, next to each other racing, but yeah, I guess we were. We're racing home. And so we came up, kind of the two paths kind of merged, and as we came up to the other path, it looked like the car that we were racing against right there. So my friend Jeremy ran the stop sign right in front of it, ran the stop sign, and all of a sudden the cherries turned on. It was a police officer. It wasn't actually the car that we thought it was. So go over the bridge, and this officer just laid into us. And my friend Jeremy had this super cool Volkswagen Bug, and he was turning it into a pickup. So he had cut the back of it off and put a bed on it, and it was like welded, and it was really sweet. And he had like 5-point harnesses for seatbelts, and I wasn't buckled up, and I couldn't figure out how to put the dumb seatbelt on. And so I'm kind of scrambling. The officer comes up, and there's one on my side shining the light in my face and one on his side. And for over 30 minutes, this guy just gave it to us. And he asked all kinds of things. Hey, are you guys in a gang? Are you guys selling drugs? Are you guys this? And then, do you know what day Christmas is? And my friend Jeremy did an excellent job. December 25th, sir? No, today's Christmas. Today's your lucky day. I saved your life. If it wasn't for me, you would probably be dead. This is like, he's just pounding it in. Do you realize how many people in our community die every year from running stop signs? I have no idea, sir. What do you think? How many people? I'm not sure. Take a guess. What do you, 50? 11. It's like a little anticlimactic, but it's like, and just laid into us, like, and then he had him get out of the car and, like, inspect everything in the car, inspect all the lights and everything, make sure it was a safe vehicle. And then he found out that the little blue light that tells if your brights are on wasn't working. He didn't have it set up yet. He's like, I could give you a ticket for an unsafe vehicle. This vehicle, you shouldn't even be driving this. Just extremely, like, in his use of authority. And then when we were done, he looks at me and he says, and you, if you ever get pulled over, you wipe that stupid grin off your face and sit there like a statue. And the reason I was grinning, I still have it a little bit, but I used to have it a lot. When I was nervous, I would either laugh or smile. And I was trying my best not to cry. And he's laying into me because here I am just like, oh, I think you're really funny. And I did not think he was funny. And so then the first time I get my own car, I got my own beat up green car, and I'm in college, I'm driving this car, and I see the lights behind me. And so I go to pull over, and I remember I had a big wad of sunflower seeds in my mouth, under my lip. And so he pulls me over, I pull off the road, and I'm like, I'm totally scrambling. So I take the sunflower seeds and just start throwing them on the floor. And then he's walking to the door, and I open the door of the car. And then I'm like, wait, I'm not supposed to get out. I'm supposed to roll down the window. So I roll down the window with the car door open and then close the door. And then he comes up, and he's like, hey, relax, son. Like, it's okay, you know. I just pulled you over because I noticed your sticker was expired. It's not a big deal. And you're okay. And he was like the coolest police officer ever. Yeah, of all time, in fact. And so I think if we told stories in this room, we would all have stories about how we have seen people in their use of authority. And there would be a lot of really bad stories, and I hope there would be some really good stories. And some of those stories come from maybe police officers or people in that position, maybe from teachers, maybe from parents. I'm sure there's stories in here of parents who handled their authority in a very amazing way. And I'm sure there's stories in here of parents, and sadly I'd say especially dads, who are really harsh and really misused or abused the authority that they had. And so I think we come into authority not with like understanding what God thinks of it or how it comes from God, but just kind of our own experience. And there's definitely kind of a, I think there's kind of a cultural vibe against authority. And even maybe just, if I can do whatever I want, that would be the best scenario. And if we could live in a place of anarchy, that would be like amazing. And I promise you, there's no place of anarchy that would be a really amazing place to live. It sounds really good to like, there's no authority on me, I can do anything I want, but it doesn't work. And it's interesting, even for me, just in my, just walking through this and my own experience and my own kind of distrust of authority, it's been really hard for me to be in a place of authority. When I was first a teacher, I taught in high school for a bunch of years. It was really challenging for me. It was challenging for me to have any authority. It was, I kind of felt like I should just let people do whatever they wanted. And I've seen lots of other teachers that do that. And their classes will just be a mess. And to really see at the end of the day, that authority is actually really good for that classroom. Especially if it's done lovingly. And with that attitude of caring about the students, it's a beautiful thing. And it brings order and it brings fun and it brings all kinds of things instead of just this craziness. And the same thing in all these different areas. Even though I think in our natural nature, we are very independent. We want to just do whatever we want and not be told what to do, not have any authority over us or not be any authority. But to walk in it, that's really from God. And it is how God is in his being. I think it's really easy, even as we come to God, to not want God's authority. I think a lot of times the God that we really want is like a genie who we can control, who we can tell, hey, God, I would like a new car. Okay, boom, sweet. So we want his power and his goodness, but we don't want him to like have any say in our lives. We want to have the ultimate say in our lives. And it wouldn't really work, but I think all of us would be like, yeah, that would be kind of a fun God to have. It's not really God. Or maybe a step down would be, maybe we just want like God to be like a vending machine where we put in our prayers and our good works and, you know, I would go to church and do whatever we do. And then we get back these positive things like, hey, I did my part, you do your part, and we kind of have this arrangement. But the reality of it is that as we come to God and as we realize God is our authority, it is right for us to submit to God. He is our King. He's our Lord. He is our authority. He's our Father. Whatever analogy we have, even though it's not complete, that's who he is. And we come to God on those terms, not on the terms of, okay, this is what I want and we'll have this arrangement. Even today as we were singing that song, if you lead me, Lord, I will follow. That's that heart of like, I come to God and say, you are good and you have been so good to me. And where you lead, I'll follow. I will submit. I will put myself under your leadership because I trust you. And I think that's kind of part of the thing is it takes so much trust. And so Jesus kind of lays out what authority is supposed to look like. And the authority of Christ is something we've probably never really seen fully in human form. And yet, Jesus was able to walk in this. And Jesus' authority is different. Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, so the people of the world, they lord it over them. That's kind of that idea of authorities. You lord it over. I'm the boss and you do whatever I tell you. And no questions asked. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So his idea of leadership is servant leadership. And Jesus came to give his life for us. And that phrase is so amazing, to give his life as a ransom, to buy us back from this place of death and slavery where we were stuck, to purchase us into his kingdom. But when he purchases us into his kingdom, he's the king of his kingdom. That's how it works. But he's not that kind of king that's like what we think of as that misuse, abuse of authority. He's the kind of king that lays down his life, that serves. And it's cool to me that I see this idea of servant leadership growing in businesses and growing in different places where we realize servant leadership is more effective than this, like, I don't know, hard-fisted leadership. And that's the type of leadership that Jesus shows us and asks us to walk into. All right. So we're going through Corinthians, and that's kind of a big, long backdrop, but we're going to jump into chapter 11, and we're looking at this higher calling that we have been called to, not to just walk as the rest of the world, but to live in a way that God has really intended. So why don't we pray and then check out this passage. Father God, thank you for this morning. I thank you for your leadership in my life, for your lordship. I give you those places where I don't want to submit. I don't want to surrender. I want to walk my own path. And I tell you that I find greater joy and good when I walk with you, and that your ways are better. And God, I ask that you would teach us this morning. I ask that you would transform some of our thinking. I ask that you would meet us where we're at, and that we could see the beauty of your love and what you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so hopefully everybody got a handout. It's not on here, but so 1 Corinthians 11. Paul is saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's a pretty good start. And yeah, don't just follow his example unless he follows the example of Christ. This is the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. I think he's kind of joking with them because they haven't really followed his traditions super well and his ideas. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. All right, we're going to stay there for a little bit. That's a pretty power-packed sentence. And I don't know about you, but just reading that brings up a lot of like, whoa, okay. The head of every man is Christ. Everyone who has come to Christ and received his forgiveness and love and his newness also comes under the authority of Christ. So the authority or the head of man is Christ for all of us who have come to him. And the head of the woman is man. Okay. So that's a pretty wild statement right there. The head of the woman is man. And in the Bible, there's two places where God has laid out where men should have headship or authority. And those are in the church and in the home. And even saying that, I'm like, wow. I don't know if that like pushes on anything in you. That pushes on some stuff in me that's different than how I culturally see life, on how things in my mind are. And it pushes on me to say, is that really how it's supposed to be, or is that just how it culturally was at one time? What is going on there? And so it goes back to kind of what we were talking about, but goes back to Genesis when God created people. God said, let us create man in our image. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so God created gender specifically and deliberately. And in that image of man and woman, there is an image of God. There is an image of the Trinity, an image of how God is one, but in three beings. And so we see that God created mankind. He created male and female. And I think the challenge there is to say, okay, if he created us different, are we still equal? And I think that's the real part that just hits hard, is like, there's some amount that in our culture that says authority is a good place, and a place not an authority, a place of submission, is a bad thing. And we put this status on us because that's what our culture has done. And God is saying, no, they reflect my image. They are good. It is a part of who I am, and it's a part of what I have made for this world. And I would love to talk with you guys a ton. Like, afterwards, come and we should have more conversations. Does that not turn some screws? Does that not like go, whoa, okay. This is challenging my 21st century American idea. And it's cool because it wasn't something God created later. It was from the beginning, God created male and female to represent his image. Can we still walk in that now? Can we still walk in this in a way that is really good? And I think part of it is that misuse and abuse of authority. And there are parents who have misused and abused their authority. And I think sometimes now it's like parents shouldn't have any authority over their kids. It's like, no. Parents need to walk in a loving authority of their kids, because that is what God has set up. And the reality is men have over the years made this something that is not something we want to walk in. Men have abused their authority. Men have either been so passive that they took no leadership, or been so harsh in their use of leadership that it was all about serving themselves so that they could kick back and just receive some benefit from this setup. And that's not how God intended it. And so can we still walk in it? And I say, yeah. I look at this, it's like, and even as I've thought through this, it's like, this is actually good. This is actually something that would be a blessing to our entire culture. But only if people walk in it in the way that Jesus intended. Not in some harsh tyranny. But in the Christ-like leadership of laying down your life for your bride. That's what Jesus did. His bride is the church. He laid down his life for us. He showed us what loving leadership looks like. And so obviously there's a lot to really, it's like, wow, to look at this. And I think in my own life, I have really shied away from leading. Oh, I don't want to impose my will on my kids. I don't want to, because that's bad. And I certainly was never a tattletale. I didn't tell any authorities about any of the bad stuff that happened in school. Because it was like, the authority is bad. And to like really appreciate, authority has been set there for a reason. Leadership is a blessing to this world. If people would walk in servant leadership, it would transform this world. And it would be in a good way, not in a way that is oppressive. All right, so continuing on. Okay, so now Paul has just thrown out this big idea of headship, and that in the church, men should be in a role of authority. And now he's going to kind of talk about what does that look like. And so, starting in 4, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should not cover her head. Okay, so the application he's bringing is that when a woman's praying or prophesying, she should have a covering on her head to kind of symbolize that spot of authority. And in that culture, to have your head shaved was a sign of either adultery or prostitution. And so he's saying if you don't want to do it, it's kind of like the same as having your head shaved. And so obviously I don't know what we do with that culturally. For hundreds of years, people have actually, practiced some kind of head covering. I think maybe hair is part of that. But we don't have like an official church stance on head coverings. So, but I know there's women who have intentionally just been like, I want to follow this, exactly what it says. And in prayer, I will have a hat or some kind of head covering. And I think that's cool. And we support people doing that. And other people have kind of felt like that's kind of cultural. And there's other ways that we have symbols of authority. And so we would walk in something more culturally relevant, just like, I don't know, wedding rings are a little more culturally relevant to us than to another culture. But so I kind of look at this and say, I don't know where we go with this. I'm not here today to say all the women need to start like wearing head coverings or like doing something. But I look at this and say this idea of leadership is actually good. And it's extremely hard to to wrestle through in the midst of our culture and to figure out what we do with that, but to hold esteem to it, even as our culture tries to throw it out and move away from that. All right, continuing on. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. Okay, so Paul's referring to when God created men and women. In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man who he created, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then he closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So Paul is saying Eve was created from Adam and for Adam. And so for that reason, the man should walk in the home and in the church in authority and in leadership of the woman. And so, again, going way back, and then he's going to add to it a little more. And he's going to kind of explain that equality going on a little more. And so, All right, continuing on. So it is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head, and because of the angels. And so this is just a crazy thought, that the angels are actually seeing how we live as men and women and getting opinions and ideas about God and how He is. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. So just as Eve came from Adam, every man that's ever been born after that came from a woman. And a woman bore all of us and nourished all of us. And so he's highlighting that interdependence. And Paul is not, and I feel like this is the biggest challenge for me. The biggest challenge is we have this mindset of inferiority and superiority. And Paul, and what God is laying out is not that. In Christ, there is no male or female. We are all equals. We all have equal value. And there's something in me that says, no, if we have different roles, all of a sudden, we're not as equal. We cannot be equals because it's set up in a different spot. And it's not that way. The man and the woman, men and women are interdependent. We need each other. We rely on each other. And to say, God has set things up so there is an authority, there's a headship, a leadership. There is a responsibility to provide and to protect and to give direction. And in those things, there is supposed to be a blessing and a gift. And it is not an inferior thing for us to submit to an authority. When I submit to the government, it doesn't mean I think the president is superior to me. When I submit to a police officer, it's not because I'm inferior and they're superior. When my students would follow my direction, it's not because I'm superior to my students. Certainly, lots of them are smarter and will go farther and do all kinds of amazing things. It is not this picture of like, okay, we have this superiority, inferiority, and the man has been given superiority. Husbands, you have been given an incredible call. And that call is not to walk in some kind of superiority, some kind of domination, some kind of abuse of authority. It is that call to lay down your life as Christ laid down his life for the church and to serve your wife and in that lovingly provide direction and protection and provision. And it is not our cultural view of men that sit on the couch and bark orders so that they can be served. It is a call to men to be the men who can lay down their lives. To be men who are willing to put their necks out. Men who will set the pace. Not men who will just sit back and say, why don't you take care of me? Or why don't you take the brunt of whatever? But men that will step up and say, I'll take the brunt of it for the family, for the church, because that models my relationship with Jesus. And that models the relationship of the Son with the Father. And even saying this, there's some huge challenges in this. It is an extremely challenging thing to separate, I don't even know where it came from, in my mind, submission and an inferiority. I don't think I feel it so much, but I feel like even saying it, if you say submit to the whatever authority in your life, you're saying you are inferior, you are lower. That is not God's heart at all. That is the farthest thing from God's heart. To say, I will willingly submit to God, and out of what He has asked me, I will put myself in submission to another person. There is something amazingly beautiful. And there's something that works there. There's something without leadership. If you have a business with no supervisor and everybody just goes to work and does their own thing, it will not work. It won't happen. Does it mean that the only person that's valuable is the supervisor? No. And same thing in a family. It doesn't work. It becomes just two friends living together with totally separate lives. Without this unity of direction, somebody providing direction, somebody willing to come along with that, you cannot have this unity. And we were called to be one, to reflect the oneness of God. We were called to walk in unity and oneness. Can we do it? Can we live that out in a way that is not oppressive, that does not abuse what God has given, what God has laid out? I think you men can. I think that model of Jesus is the kind of boss I want to follow. It's the kind of government I want to follow. It's the kind of God I want to follow. And I think it's the kind of man a woman would be willing to unite her life with. Just to get somebody smarter than me quote up here. The idea of headship and authority is important to God. In his great plan for the ages, one great thing God looks for from man is voluntary submission. This is what Jesus showed in his life over and over again. And this is exactly what God looks for from both men and women, though it will be expressed in different ways. I think that sums it up pretty well, just that we are all under submission. We all walk in a spot of submission. And many of us have a spot of authority. Will we walk in that spot in submission to God? Will we submit to what God has asked and walk in a way where he gets to be the king? And it looks different for men and women in a couple of arenas. It's expressed differently, but it's still a submission to God. All right, just a couple practicals thinking through this. I really want to charge all of you that are in a spot of leadership, in any leadership in your life, to model the leadership of Jesus. And Jesus' model of leadership is to lay down his life. It's not about him being served, but about actually serving those that he was leading. And we probably all have arenas where we have a place of leadership and to grow in that and to trust God for that type of leadership. And then to all of us are under authority to embrace that spot and to submit to the authorities that God has put in our lives and to desire their best and there's a place to speak out against authorities that are off track, and that's very important, and a spot to correct but a spot to walk with those places we're at as an employee, just the places you are in your life as men and women, to walk in that submission and to embrace it. Is it really good? I don't know. I really look forward to talking to you guys more, honestly. Is it really good in your minds too? I've seriously been wrestling with this for the last 2 weeks. Like, man, this is like a cultural, like, bombshell. And yet I've come to the conclusion it is. It is, if it is walked out well, it is such a blessing. It is so good. It is not demeaning or dominating. It is from God. And I guess I kind of just have a charge for you young guys too, that to be careful or be wise in who you hook up with, and look for more than just looks, because to be in a spot as a guy where you desire to to lead and lay down your life is a really vulnerable spot, and you get taken advantage of. As a woman, to be in a spot where you desire to let someone lead and to unite with what with who they are is a really vulnerable spot. And so I really just look for more than just looks in somebody, but someone that would, you could walk together in that, and really that would be a really beautiful experience for you, because it is. The expression of this is really beautiful. And so I guess just the conclusion, there's a call to those under authority. That's all of us. And there's a call to those in authority. Neither one of these calls is easy. In fact, almost impossible. Oh, just be like Jesus. Like, okay, that sounds easy enough. They're not easy in our human nature, but both of them are attainable by God's power, and both of them portray a beautiful picture of God. And to be able to display this picture of who God is. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for who you are. I thank you for your leadership in our lives. Thank you for how amazingly gentle and patient and sacrificial you are towards us. Thank you that you are have never been harsh with your use of authority. In my life, you have been really strong, but not like a tyrant. And God, I ask that you would teach us to really walk as you would have for us. God, I ask that you would give us a view of what you think of authority. That you would give us hearts that don't look at authority as something to just gain something for ourselves, but to walk in them as you would have us walk. And God, I desire to walk as a leader as you did. Your example is amazing and challenging to me. Jesus, I tell you that I cannot do it on my own strength, and that I need your power. I ask for your power. And I ask that you would continue to move, continue to grow us in your ways. In the name of Jesus, amen.